broadcasting from the Unshackled Studios in Melbourne. This is Wilms Front, brought to you by theunshackled.net. Now here's Tim Wilms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the midweek edition of Wilms Front on this Wednesday, the 28th of October, 2020. We are live on the Wilms Front YouTube and DLive channels, as well as on the Unshackled's Facebook page. And of course, as always, on the Entropy enhanced interactive software, where you can ask questions throughout the night and send through super chats. It is 7:05 here in Melbourne. We are no longer locked down, but we are still living under severe restrictions. You can leave the house now for any reason, but you are still required to wear a mask when leaving. You still cannot travel more than 25 kilometers from your home, and you are only allowed two visitors to your home who have to be from the one household per day. The Ring of Steel separating Melburnians and regional Victorians is set to remain in place until November the 9th. That is if Dan keeps his word this time, because on Sunday he came to his daily press conference where he was expected to announce the details of the reopening of retail, hospitality and beauty salons, but went in with nothing, claiming he wanted to await test results from a northern metro cluster. There were seven new cases on that Sunday, but the next day, Monday, there were zero cases. So he pretty much had no choice but to announce, it was at 3:30 p.m. that Monday afternoon, that Melbourne was reopening starting from midnight today, so midnight Wednesday. It's certainly not over by any means, the campaign to regain our freedom and human rights, not while Dan Andrews is our Premier. He will continue to be a control freak, imposing dictatorial decrees based on his paranoia of the virus, no matter how impractical, absurd or uneconomical they are. Meanwhile, Victorians will continue to suffer their own paranoia and anxiety about if Dan will send the state back into lockdown, if there's a new outbreak. Dan claims that his contact tracing team is now world class, which is led by former public transport bureaucrat Jerome Wymer. Though still not many people have confidence that his contact tracing team can do the job, including himself, given his squibbing of the reopening announcement. There is still no announcement about when the state borders with New South Wales and South Australia will reopen to Victoria. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian has said she wants to see what the numbers are like once Melbourne reopens and see how their contact tracing team reacts. There were two new cases today and two deaths. This was after 2 days of zero cases or deaths. Both cases were linked to other cases and were already in quarantine. The two deaths were linked to aged care outbreaks. There are now only 80 active cases in Melbourne and only three in hospital. Public gathering limits remain at 10, although there is no restriction on how many households that 10 gathering limit can come from. To say it's a grey area about whether Victorians have the right to protest or that right has been restored is an understatement. So there was another Freedom Day march at the Shrine of Remembrance held last Friday on the Grand Final Eve public holiday. The AFL Grand Final at the Gabba was won by Richmond Tigers, and the NRL Grand Final held in Sydney on Sunday was won by the Melbourne Storm over the Penrith Panthers. So it was a clean sweep by the Melbourne sides, though nobody could celebrate. At the this Freedom March, Victoria Police weren't as brutal as they had been during previous Freedom Day protests, but still issued 96 fines and arrested 16 people. Sadly, there were two grubs who hit police horses who have now been charged with animal cruelty, but the protest was mostly peaceful, at least from the protesters' side. One of the attendees last Friday was Richard Ray, who attended with his mate Nathan Kyle. Nathan has previously been a guest on Wilms Front, so tonight it's my pleasure to introduce Richard. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Tim. I was there. It was definitely interesting, to say the least, compared to the previous protests I've been to, where the police have basically gone ham on anyone who decided to turn up, to say the least. They've kind of it's only kind of set in now to the extent of how bad this lockdown really has been. Just as things are starting to open up a bit, and you know the vibe in the air feels a bit better than it did before. But it's been oppressive. So it was really good to see the last protest have a good attendance, and also the police not, you know, just going on people for no reason. It was really good. It was what should have happened on the 5th. You know, it's what should have happened quite a while ago. So.
Margot, my moderator, has noticed that I had my hair cut today. I was so looking forward to it. There was on the salon, the barbershop floor, there was I took a photo of it. So much of my hair, I hadn't had a haircut for 6 months. But yeah, I'm happy with the way it came out. Your profile picture, you have long hair and beard. You've got a cap on. Is yours still long?
Yeah, it's still long. It's hidden behind my hair. I guess I can take it out maybe. Might as well.
Are you planning to have it cut, or are you comfortable with it?
I am. I've been many, not cut too much, but I definitely want to get some length cut off the back. So, that's been another thing, hasn't it? No haircuts. No anything really. Couldn't even go down to Kmart and buy, you know, something for the house. Can't get a haircut. Everyone just is walking around looking, you know, like they've been living in a cave for a year, basically.
During the first stage 3 lockdown in Victoria, hairdressers weren't shut. It was only when Dan introduced the stage 4 lockdown on August the 2nd that he ordered hairdressers and barbers closed. Even though in Australia there's been no coronavirus cases linked to hairdressers or barbers, it felt like it was just one of the things that he did to show, yeah, this is stage 4.
Absolutely. And you can see examples with that with the opening of gyms as well. I mean, there's no evidence to back that that's a high-risk area of infection is in gyms. Yet he's taken so long to open them up. You know, just like you said with hairdressers, it's exactly that. It's like, I'm just going to spit in the face of the public. This is what it's felt like the whole time. He just does things. It's got no scientific backing behind it. A lot of the stuff he's done, you know, including the curfew and all this sort of stuff. So absolutely, it does just feel like that. This is stage 4 now. We're going to get rid of hairdressers. And then the steps he's put in after we've gone into the second wave have been even worse. It hasn't been this clear step 4, stage 4, stage 3, stage 2. It's been these crazy steps where we've got to have zero cases, and now we're hitting zero cases, and we've still got this these ridiculous rules where we have to write our friends' names down who come over. I mean, doesn't that sound
like... That's a recommendation. I know that a lot of politicians, they forget meetings, as we've seen in these various inquiries, but most normal people know who's visited them at their private home, don't need to keep a log. They remember, you know, who's come when.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just when they say stuff like that, are they taking the piss, or... are they just kind of having a laugh, or what is it? But maybe the public are receptive. I swear there's people who would actually go along and do that. I mean, I'm sure there would be. I had on grand final day, I was with some friends at a mate's place, and within a matter of an hour and a half before the footy even gets to start, we've already had someone call the cops on us. A lady sees us through the window and says, you know, these guys are having, like, it's just... unbelievable.
Dan's still encouraging people to call the snitch line if they see more than one, or I guess one set of visitors per day. So there'll still be those types of people who'll be, you know, peering out their windows and see what their neighbours are doing, the busy bodies. They've had they've thrived in this, and especially with the mandatory masks going ballistic if they see someone unmasked, which they've only, of course, this is only as I call them, the mask offs in the supermarkets, when you see a person not wearing a mask get into conflict with somebody who's demanding they wear a mask. That only started because Dan mandated them, and we'll get into his mask fetish, as I call it, soon. But there's still today people wearing masks everywhere. But as soon as Dan says, "Oh, you don't need to wear them anymore," people will take them off, and this is the most I gobsmacking thing about this is the people that hate the lockdown and it makes them miserable, but they believe Dan when he says it's the only way. But as soon as Dan says, "Yes, we can reopen today," they're the first zombies to the Kmart queue and the cafes and everything. So Dan said you could do it. Well, get on the beers. I hate that expression now. So they just automatically do that. So you, even though you hate the lockdown, you still agree that there's no other approach. Like you don't consider one. And that's reflected in, well, the poll that was put out this week.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's what gets me time and time again, because I thought when the second round of lockdowns came in, I thought, well, what's it going to take for people to finally say enough is enough? You know, sure. Honestly, I thought we never, like, if we ever got into stage four, enough would be enough for people. Apparently, I don't know what it's going to take. You know, it's admirable in a sick way, the way the public is here, because they're so tolerant to being pushed around. It's not like it's a good, it could be a good thing if, you know, it was sticking. It's like they're good, the public here can stick things out, but are they even sticking it out, or are they just, it's just out of fear? They're just staying at home. They're not thinking for themselves. That's what I hate is, I hate the culture here of, we don't think for ourselves. We're, you know, it's a lack of being independent, I find. Like, it's like people just want to be left alone, but they do so much rely on the system and the government. It's like this grid here in the city and in Melbourne, and it's becoming very obvious that maybe the next time they do this, which we know it's probably going to happen again, maybe that'll be the last straw, because maybe instead of 50% of, you know, restaurants and hospitality closing down, I don't know if that's the exact number, but that's something I read, maybe it'll be, you know, another 30 or 40%, and then there was going to be nothing left. I mean, then who's going to come in and buy everything up? So, I don't know. It's really hard to watch. I don't think I can deal with it again if it happens. Like, I'm willing to stay here and fight it out, because I'm not the person to run away from things. But I mean, this place is going to go to the dogs if people don't really wake up, you know.
I've put this is the 9 Ipsos poll. I'll put it on the screen. So 52% approve of Dan Andrews' performance. Only 33 disapprove. Opposition leader Michael O'Brien, 15% approve. 39% disapprove. And Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton, who, well, he's been busted being a liar. He said that, "I wasn't aware that private security was being used until the media reported it, even though there's the email logs that prove that he's a liar." 57% approve, 20% disapprove. And we should remember that there's that Brett Sutton fan club, all these sort of women who think that he's so dreamy, Bambi-eyed, and have made their masks with his image on them. And then we have preferred Premier Daniel Andrews, majority still 53%, Michael O'Brien 18%, pandemic response state government 49% satisfied, 40% dissatisfied, state opposition 16% satisfied, 44% dissatisfied. So you despair for the future of the state, despite the damage that has been done. A lot of the damage is still yet to be seen, yet people are like, well, it was necessary.
I love that. Yeah, people, if they can, are just going to forget this ever happened, you know, and go on with their lives and just say, oh, it was necessary. Because what I find is there's so many people out there that they can't accept the fact that there could potentially be an ulterior motive behind the scenes. And yet it's right in front of them. As far as I'm concerned, it should be right in everyone's face that, you know, there's an ulterior motive and there's another agenda behind trying to close down small business. I mean, and there's so many different things going on at once, yet people would rather believe, okay, it must be for our own good, or it must just be for a virus. Because the minute you break that lie away, like the minute you take away, well, what if it wasn't just about a virus? You know, then they have to ask another question, another question, another question. And then, you know, there's 1,000 questions, and then their world that they once relied on suddenly doesn't become, you know, as stable in their mind anymore. So, yeah, I worry about this state. I really do. I love Melbourne, and I have loved Melbourne, but it seems like this city's gone downhill ever since Andrews has got into office. When I look back on the timeline, I've, to be quite honest with you, not being tuned into politics in Australia for the last 4 years. It's been mainly in the States with Donald Trump and everything that's going on over there, because obviously that does affect us here as well. But I think it's gotten to the point here now where, you know, I think a lot of people should have been more, you know, aware of what's been going on behind the scenes, because this doesn't just happen overnight.
Anthony Kalouf, who's the leader of Australians Versus the Agenda, who was, I think, one of the first to be charged with the incitement over the September 5 protests, he summed it up well. He said, even if you avoid politics, detach from it, it will eventually find you, which it sounds like you're in that category as well, because... pretty much all of the people that I've met as part of the anti-lockdown freedom movement here in Melbourne have no history of activism before this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? It's interesting the people who have come together, which I've found the best part. There's a lot of positives that have come out of this, of course. You know, like I'd say personally in my life, I'm doing a lot better in a lot of different areas than I have been in a long time. Yet I'm more concerned than I ever have been in my life because of what's going on around me. It's not about me. It's about, you know, the future of everyone in the community and my friends and family. Because if that falls apart for everyone, we're all going to go down together. That's the thing. People love social issues because it's us. It can always be us against them, or people find a reason to hate other people. But at the end of the day, it really is now becoming the people against the establishment to a large degree, because, you know, if they can have it their way, we're going to all go broke, and they're going to, you know, have these tracking devices on us, and we're going to do whatever they say. And if we don't, then they turn off our, you know, our, what do you call it? What's the socialist income called again? Your
social credits, yeah, what they have in China.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's coming. I tell you, it's pretty obvious now, isn't it? I hope not, but it looks like it is. I mean, some of these cameras I've installed, some of these new banking ads you see come up, earn extra points if you download this and this app, or you buy from this store. And it's, you know, it's like the scanning of the cards, and then it turns into, you know, your watch, and then it goes, they precondition everyone, don't they, for things coming. So I do get concerned about these next few years, because this is just the beginning now. I don't think it's going to disappear next year. I think they're going to have a bag of tricks next year as well. So let's hope Andrews is gone by then, but something tells me he's going to stick around. Hope not.
Australian Protectionist Party has said, Richard's Wilmsrand appearance brought to you by VB. And of course, Victoria has been very bitter this year. Has been the meme, or the joke. And, well, the biggest mug of the year has been Dan Andrews.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of feel ashamed drinking this beer, but like you just said, it's quite ironic, isn't it? Victoria is quite bitter at the moment. So sometimes you just got to, you know, swallow it and keep going.
Well, what's the other meme that, what is it, the only positive cases we like to see delivered by Dan is from Dan Murphy's.
Yeah, I've seen that. There's a few. I've seen the one with Dan with the mask on as well, and instead of the donut, it's a you know, a board of cocaine or whatever. There's all different ones they've got there.
I won't show the image of him with the donut with him with his mask on because I don't want to basically scare people. But in that photo, he looks like he has crazy eyes. And like, who goes to eat a donut with a mask on?
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? You're so right though. When you look at his eyes in that photo, it's psycho. He's a psychopath. I don't care what anyone says. It's pretty obvious. He's seeing him at some of these press conferences when he announces certain things. You can tell he's getting the more restrictions he brings in, the more his eyes light up and the more he gets joy out of it. And then when he got rid of the restrictions, you could see he looked almost angry, in my opinion.
Well, as I said, he pretty much had no choice, but he couldn't help but have a spray at the people who doubted his strategy, which he's repeatedly said has worked, i.e. the lockdown, which equals a police state. And he thanked Victoria Police for doing an outstanding job in difficult circumstances and putting up with some of the shameful conduct. And he wasn't too pleased you were all returning to the shrine, even though we did have a change in you'd say approach from Luke Cornelius, who reappeared last Thursday after a while. I'll play what Luke Cornelius, aka Chief Wiggum, said, and then what Dan said.
Not only is it wrong to protest, it's not safe, it's unlawful, and it is frankly shameful that anyone would seek to protest any issue at such a special place.
Well, so protesting is not unlawful. It's a human right.
Groups of 10 from two households are allowed to gather, yes, and people are socially distant, yep. Then surely
That's very different, Lundy, though. If you're going to have a picnic, that's very different to someone who's got placards and protests. That's a very different thing. That's a very different thing.
We're now operating in a context where the CHO directions do allow people to leave home for recreation and for socialising. And people can choose, if they want to, while they're doing that, to also voice protest or give effect to protest.
You shouldn't be protesting at all. That just doesn't make any sense.
Are protests still illegal under the CHO directions?
Yeah, absolutely they are.
And
you should stay at home. Like, protests don't work against this virus, and they potentially put at risk all the good work that we've done.
Whether you're protesting at home, whether you're protesting down at your local park, whether you're protesting at the shrine, you must comply with the CHO directions about public gatherings. And the public gathering rules are very clear in Melbourne Metro.
So you could see that he basically exploded with rage there. How dare you protest my lockdown that's worked? And he obviously, they're called the Chief Health Officer's directives, as Luke Cornelius, Chief Wiggum said, but we know that they're Dan's dictatorial decrees. And yes, he obviously he still doesn't like the fact that there's people who are there disobeying him.
Oh yeah, it's so funny, isn't it? Seeing this, like, with the Wiggum comes out. Obviously, we've all seen him come out, and all the memes went around of him, you know, being a pig basically, and saying, you know, you can't protest. We'll lift you off the ground. You know, your feet won't even touch the ground. Blah blah blah. Now he comes out and he says, almost sheepishly looking, "Oh yeah, it's a human right." Oh, okay, so now it's a human right. And then Dan saying the complete opposite. So obviously there's something going on in between. It sounds to me like there's something going on in the Supreme Court, which there is, but obviously there's now probably a bit of turmoil going on in the middle, because people can face consequences for, you know, enforcing things that are against people's human rights and a bunch of other things as well. But there's other directives, I think we're covered under the Constitution, all these different things like that. But it's funny that, isn't it? He really doesn't like it. You can tell Dan really is a coward. I don't care what anyone says. He's the biggest coward. He's only gotten this far because people have allowed him through. He's such a coward. He really is. He's a buffoon.
Now, we've all seen the vision of Chief Wiggum back in June, basically expressing his support for the Black Lives Matter rallies that took place there, and that they were working with the organisers to ensure a COVID-safe rally. And I think after a public backlash, police fined the three organisers. Though we didn't see the same, you'd say, political bias shown towards left-wing or leftist protests yesterday, because there's been this ongoing protest at the Dajab Warring allegedly sacred Aboriginal trees, which the state government is wanting to knock down to expand the Western Highway near Ararat. So this is from pedestrian.tv, one of these pop culture junk websites. Approximately 50 people were arrested at the Dajab Warring protest today, with Victoria Police using additional powers allowed under the state of emergency to arrest, charge and fine these protesters. 10 were arrested at the site, taken to Ararat Police Station, although on charge with intentionally obstructing an emergency service worker on duty, refusing to leave a restricted access area and refusing to follow the chief health officer's directions. Another 40 people were arrested for refusing to leave restricted area, again failing to comply with trade directions. They were released pending summons. In addition, a significant number of people were issued fines for breaching coronavirus restrictions, which currently do not allow Melburnians to travel to regional Victoria, which for the fines for leaving a restricted area, which is Melbourne, and also for unlawful gatherings is now jacked it up to $4,957. And Lydia Thorpe is the Victorian Green Senator, despite the fact that Samantha Ratnam, the Victorian Greens MLC, she voted for the extension of these powers, said the fines would put people at risk of entering the justice system. This is a continual cycle of systematic oppression from the government, both state and federal. She said that this was absolutely an overreach of police powers. They've been looking for any excuse to remove those land defenders from the Dajab Warring protest. Oh, so now the Greens are worried about the excessive fines and what they can do to a vulnerable people.
Of course they are now, because, you know, it fits their agenda as per usual. It fits the social, the socialist agenda, the divide and conquer, the one, us against them agenda, the, you know, all the stuff they're for. But when it comes to everyone being affected, which we all have been to begin with, and I'm not saying that isn't, there's definitely, when it comes to, you know, stuff like that, obviously I don't agree with it at all. And there's definitely things that have been going on that haven't been talked about enough. But I mean, the way that it's played politically is disgusting. Like you said, with the Black Lives Matter protest, that's fine. I had friends personally have a go at me a couple of weeks before based on me going to a protest, and then also have a go at me 2 weeks later. These are leftist friends that I've got, for not going to the Black Lives Matter protest. So suddenly it didn't become about the virus anymore, because it was for a political issue, and these people get power from it and they feel like they're powerful. But the police don't see them as a threat, because the way the police know they've got control of them in their mind. That the way that these people protest, these people, a lot of them are batshit crazy, like what the police officer, what Wiggum says. No, those people are the ones that are crazy. They're the ones who are robotic in nature. It's people like us who are free thinkers who go to these. They're scared, because they're scared of what we represent. They're scared that they know if this spreads, it can overturn a corrupt system. It can overturn, a system that's not favouring us and favouring them. And a lot of people, I don't think, even pick up on that consciously. A lot of it is internally. They feel, you know, you could even say it's kind of like an energy thing, like they can feel that something, you know what I mean? It's quite, it's two different things. That's why I laugh, is because it's so hypocritical. It can be the same exact thing, but it comes to a different political issue, and apparently it's the complete opposite thing. So you know, there's obviously a lot of different agendas at play here, and yeah, you know.
Well, we saw Victoria Police's conduct back at the first anti-lockdown protest on Mother's Day, where mid-speech they dragged Phenos Panagiotis off the stage, and then that's basically when they moved in and tried to disperse everyone. They also made their presence felt at the Botanical Gardens anti-lockdown protest on May 31st. That was before the weekend before Black Lives Matter took place. And well, we've seen what Victoria Police's both their rhetoric and conduct on the day during the Freedom Day protest starting 5th of September. Did you attend the September 5th one?
September 5th, I've been to so many of them that I can't remember. The September 5th one was, I'm sure...
The first one at the Shrine.
Oh, no, no. I was there. Yes, I was. The one that they said everyone not to go to. No, because I got a lot of messages from people. So I was at the very, very first one at Parliament, the one you're talking about with Phanos as well. So there's about 400 of us there at that one too, but I've been to basically all of them bar a few, but I've probably been to about 4 to 5, 6 or however many there's been. Certain ones obviously I haven't, but the fifth I did go. I in hindsight with that, I think there was a fear campaign that came out around that, that's very clear now. I'm not going to go into the whole was there a psyop with the police and etc., but because I've got no idea. But when it comes to the way the police were coming out and arresting people and going hard, putting fear into people, they were obviously worried about that event. They were worried about the numbers that were going to attend. I could say there could have easily been, even if they're 50,000 and turn up 20 to 30,000, which would have been a huge statement, which would have changed things from there. We would have maybe missed out on even an extra month or two of lockdown or of as severe lockdowns. But, you know, I got calls from people close to me, calls from people who are in the movement who were like, oh, no, we're not going to go to this protest. I don't think we need to go to this protest. But in hindsight, it was still fear. I think it was still fear that gripped everyone that said, oh, I'm not going to do this. I don't think we should. But in hindsight, what could they have really done? They could have arrested us. They could have obviously done all that sort of stuff. But if enough people turned up, they would have lost. They couldn't have done anything. So it was a bit of a shame, but... you know, you live and you learn. I think, I hope there's a good turnout on the 3rd. I heard there's one coming up as well.
Yes, for Cup Day at Parliament House. Obviously, the restrictions on leaving the home now have been lifted. So that means that there's not these permitted reasons to leave the home, but obviously the 25 travel radius still applies, and what is it, the public gathering still limits of 10, but they can be from any household. Now I'll just go to this is thisnews.com.au, a article that they've said here. When asked about the Cup Day protest, Victoria Police said they continue to monitor potential protest activity across the state. We respect respect the right people have to express their views and to protest as long as it's in accordance with the Chief Health Officer's directions, a spokeswoman said. Protesting is no longer unlawful under Victoria's coronavirus restrictions, but people do have to adhere to the Chief Officer's directions at this time, such as group size and travel limits. The new ruling has raised organisers' hopes of an even larger turnout on Melbourne Cup Day. So this would be, probably even more interesting than the one last Friday, because if you compare the one to the Freedom Day on the 23rd of October to the one on September 5th, this time police weren't in that heavy riot gear with basically, it looked like body armour on. They wore mainly just their normal police uniform. There weren't the shields that we saw at the Queen Victoria Market. There are a few people who got arrested, but they didn't do what they did on the September 5 Freedom Day and put masks on them when they arrested them. so that there wasn't that over the topness. I'll just play the one of the lives you and your mate Nathan Kyle did on the day to give a bit of what it was like on the ground there.
Backwards, right? I know. It's insane.
So it's like people are more likely to, like, you'd never be allowed. Oh, of course I don't want to shoot.
Down at the end. Coming with a sign here.
Yeah,
100% criminal. 100% criminal. Here you go, here, you can see there's a wall of police here. Good turnout here, to be honest. Like, really good turnout. So, everyone their freedoms back, so.
Milk.
Yeah, I agree. Relatively peaceful down here. Oh, no, mate. My internet's fucked. The connection's fucked. Relatively peaceful down here. The media will probably paint it in some way or try and put some spin on it, but the everyone here's nothing really kicking off or anything like that. People just peacefully protesting. There's some people in the middle there as well, over there. Pretty big. Anyway, I'm gonna go. If something happens, I'll fucking go live again or something like that. My internet's shit, but.
Excuse your mate Nathan's potty mouth there.
Oh, don't worry, mine's worse. I try and keep
but it. He was absolutely right that the mainstream media, they use the most dramatic footage because, we just saw Nathan's raw footage. It just basically looks like a gathering of people and there's just this line of police.
Absolutely. When we were down there, it was really good to see. I remember when we first walked in there, we had the police stop us. We had a footy in our hand. We were drinking alcohol as well. There was about 5-6 of us. And we're like, all right, we're just, they're like, oh, you boys just kicking the footy in the park. We said, yeah. They're like, all right, well, just don't come up here because, you know, there's going to be a bit of a ruckus today. I was like, all right, whatever. Obviously, we were going to the protest. We went up to the protest. What we missed out on was the people in the middle where Jackie Dundee ended up getting grabbed. Another guy I know called Will Twiggs got
stabbed. Yeah, we'll have a look at the Victoria Police. They went for her throat. Jackie Dundee is, she's become, a lot of her videos against the lockdown have gone quite viral, and Jackie doesn't wear a mask. And it seems that because she's breathing fresh air, that the police, we saw that earlier, woman who was choked for not wearing a mask. It's like, you're breathing fresh air, quick, cut the circulation off. That seems what it is.
Yeah, it's funny because I always used to joke about it. I used to say, well, no, they're going to tax our air. But I didn't think that one day it's going to be illegal to breathe fresh air. Like, when you really think of it for what it really is crazy. It's like, no, you're not allowed out your home without something that's stopping you from getting fresh air. I mean, talk about liberties being taken away. But you know, in the context of a virus, people don't even know how viruses spread or really work, but we're going to put this over our face because we've seen it in a hospital documentary, you know, and they're wearing it in a hospital. That means it must mean no virus, but they don't understand the way viruses work. They don't understand the way their immune system works. They don't understand anything about organic foods or foods in general or pesticides and all these different things. They don't do their own research. You know, that's a whole different category there. But of important things to learn is to learn about maintaining your health. But people aren't interested, so you want to breathe your fresh air because you understand the way it works. No, we're going to come in there, grab you, choke you, and it's disgusting. And it's those police specifically, the ones that don't have the green, high vis, the other ones, they're the one level up from them. I forgot what they're called.
The red ones.
Yeah. I don't know. Are they? They're not the federal police, are they?
They're part of the public order response team, yes, to my right. knowledge. Yeah. So they wear the red vests.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And I see them all the time. They're the ones I want to avoid, because what happened to me at the protest is so we were following the group for a couple of hours, and it ended up spilling out onto the road near the Hungry Jack's in the
South Melbourne. Yes, yeah. Kingsway.
Yeah, so a lot of people would have seen that video with RV. It went on RVM and I's and a bunch of other people's news reports. Anyway, a lot of people saw it. But anyway, we followed and we were behind the group, and I went across to the service station. People going to the toilet, getting something to drink. And then out of nowhere, the public order response just came in. It was something out of a movie. Like, it was exciting, I'm not going to lie, but it was quite intimidating the way they came in. Out of nowhere, where we hadn't been arrested all day, no issues, public order response come in. 5, 6, 7 of these vans filled with them. And you knew they meant business the way they were coming in. They just, boom, straight into the service station really quickly and jumped out. And it felt quite easily 100 of them were there. And we ran across the road. So I was like, all right, probably the last thing you do is run when there's police around. But, you know, when there's that many, you're kind of worried that they're going to tackle you to the ground. So we ran, and pretty much everyone got away other than me and another friend. And then I had the normal police come up to me and then deal with me for about 20 minutes, which I was fine. I just talked to them, and they said, why are you out, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they ended up giving me a fine as well, which was quite funny, as they do.
How many have you got?
Actually, funnily enough, this is my first one. I've only got a warning. I've gotten away, like, I haven't worn a mask this whole time other than very occasionally, but I've never got a mask fine. I got a warning, and I've never got a fine for being at these protests. So this is my first one. Been out past curfew, didn't get a fine. I got caught by the police with that as well. But it's just $635, and it says here, mass gathering protest, 10-plus people. Yet they didn't catch me with people. I was only with one friend, and I told them I wasn't with the protest. And Wiggum has come out and said protests aren't unlawful. So how is this not hypocritical? Like, how is saying mass, you know what I mean? So I'm not paying it, of course.
Well, the decision about the legality of the curfew, that'll be decided in the Supreme Court next Monday. That's when decision's being handing down. But if it's found to be unlawful, then all those curfew fines get knocked out, which would be extremely embarrassing for Dan, because he was asked about, 5% of fines are being paid, and he's like, oh, we're going to come after you. You have to pay up.
Yeah, right. If a lot of the stuff he's implemented doesn't get overridden in the Supreme Court or the High Court or whatever it is, then I'm sure if he's still in power, he would go out of his way to make sure anyone with those type of fines paid up, because he's that type of person. But I have a feeling a lot of them are going to get overruled, and a lot of them would not hold up in court when you because we need to, this is what's important with this curfew and a couple of the other restrictions he's put in. It's important they do get overturned, because it will set the precedent for the future, because we can't have that happening again. We really can't. We can't afford to be in a curfew. It's insane. I felt like I was in a movie, honestly. Like, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, yeah, that'll happen one day, but I didn't think it would be like it was so quickly. It's funny how it creeps up on you.
And I'm not sure where you are. You heard the during curfew hours over your place, the helicopters, the planes, and that, it was almost a nightly occurrence. And even when the curfew was lifted, there's less of them now, but you could still hear them. And you just sort of wonder, is this surveillance going to be wound back when the restrictions are? Are the police actually going to chase real crime, such as the inevitable youth gangs that will return to the streets during summer. We've still got there, what is that, the mask mandate. It is now, Dan said, likely until the end of 2020, possibly 2021. He said he's a holdout on masks because he says it's a low cost but high reward. Well, it's the lowest cost for a fine, $200, but some police officers still will either arrest or even choke you for not wearing a mask. And he's even recommended that you wear masks during home visits, although he said he can't enforce that and police won't go going door to door. We know that he'd secretly like that.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? What an Orwellian nightmare that is. He really would. You know he'd love to have enough of a force out there. I guess why he's getting all of his COVID officers to go around and knock on people's doors and make sure they're wearing a mask inside. I mean, and then he comes out and says the home is the most dangerous place. There's another red flag. You know, It's a controlled environment. Yeah. Okay, so the home's the most dangerous place throughout this whole time, is it? Yet the home is the place we've been hiding in to get away from this virus, yet it's the most dangerous place. It's insanity. And yet the supermarket's fine. There's no cases in the supermarket, yet there's hundreds of people in and out, touching the same stuff. When you think of it logically, when you really think of it logically, it makes no sense. It's insane. But people don't, because they love, you know, living in some bullshit reality. So, you know.
Yeah, but the supermarkets have the cameras everywhere, so there's a record of who goes in, and that obviously people don't have cameras in their own homes. But he's not the only one to recently say that the home is the most dangerous place. We had the New South Wales Health Minister Brad Hazzard say that recently. I'll just play this again because what he says is, what he says in its entirety, it's worth seeing again.
The other area of danger is the place that we would normally consider to be the safest place on earth, our homes. You've already heard today that a number of the people who've actually now got the virus got it in a home situation, and we'll hear more detail about that in due course. But it is both a safe place and a dangerous place. We must treat this new world of COVID, even in our own homes, with a high level of care and caution. Can I ask?
And that's not the only time he's accidentally said Brad Hazzard, new world order. So he clearly, why does he keep accidentally saying that as well?
Ah, it's funny, isn't it? Definitely an accident there. I saw the first one he did as well. That did its rounds. That one there is just that's straight out of the New World Order handbook, isn't it? Of having every privacy, and the main thing, they want to invade your home more than anything, invade any sense of privacy you've got left. You know, become, you know, Big Brother inside your home. I mean, they're kind of there already, aren't they? With the Google Homes and the TVs with cameras on them now, and all that sort of stuff. I mean, if someone wanted to, I'm sure they'd have access. We carry our phones everywhere. But then the whole idea that having anyone in your own home that you paid for, that's your space, is somehow dangerous and they get a say in, is exactly what the New World Order is, which I find disgusting. It really makes me angry when I hear that. But, you know, the worst part is if the public didn't listen to what they had to say regarding that, they'd have no 2 feet to stand on. But I know, especially here in Victoria, because I'm pretty sure that I've read a study somewhere, I can't even remember what it was, but something about Victoria having three times higher of a nanny state based on people reporting each other. Victoria's got the highest rate of that than anywhere in Australia. I think it's about 3 to 4 times more than anywhere else in Australia. It's got this nanny state, the education state, which then becomes the socialist state, you know, and then then they bring in communism. But fascism or whatever. But I don't. That's one thing I hate, is that invasive. Before, it's kind of like you've got social issues that invade your life, but you've still got that free, you know, you've still got that boundary of your home. You know, you can still go out and do as you please, and people can leave you alone. Now, since they've, you know, the social thing, which is now the virus, which becomes this social thing, like you were saying earlier, how these Karens or whoever you want to call it love enforcing it on other people. That's their wet dream in a way, isn't it? That they get to now essentially, if they want, invade your life. There's jobs going where they can go and tell you what to do, you know, COVID officer. So it's scary stuff.
I had an idea today. Like, obviously, there's all these tracking apps now. Maybe somebody could create a Karen tracking app. So if obviously somebody, like, they have a neighborhood snitch there, you feed that information to the app and know that there's a lot of Karens around this area. So if you're entering that area, just be aware you might have a Karen or nosy neighbor busybody there.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's what they really need to do instead. They're the ones who need to be tracked, I think.
I'm not sure if you watched the first episode of Howzos versus Virus on Monday night on 7Mate. But the Howzos, they got a fine from the police because their infrared drone picked up that in their home they weren't social distancing.
They had that on Howzos. No, I didn't see that. I got to go back and watch that.
Yeah, but sort of I didn't like that joke because it's like you just gave them an idea, an infrared drone that can pick up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're onto it already.
Chadstone reopened today, but I'm not sure if you'd really want to go there given what they've got here, which is this is their COVID COVID safe instructions, and it says here always keep your distance. It says here, security officers in high visibility vests are monitoring our center to enforce the physical distancing requirements as appropriate and are working with the local police. It also says wear a face mask. If you choose to visit, please remember you must always wear a face mask. This excludes people who cannot wear a mask for medical reasons. You'll be asked to provide documentation to support this to our team. So Chadstone's gone from, well, the fashion capital to the fascist capital.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane, isn't it? So, yeah, we were talking about it, weren't we, before, how they can, obviously the DHHS website says you don't have to provide one and there's a multitude of reasons. I read a thing earlier about how these people can't infringe on your right to not wear a mask if you've got an exemption. So I don't know how that all works. I don't know if they can really even legally enforce that, but I'm sure they'll try, and I'm sure they will still kick you out of the place until someone takes them to court over it, until, you know, once again, there's a precedent set. But that's funny, isn't it? It doesn't sound relaxing to me. This is the thing. It's like, finally you get out of lockdown, I just want to relax. No, can't stand up at the pub. You've got to wear a mask in, and then when you sit down, you can take it off.
Is that the police coming to your place again? They've been listening to the show.
No, I live right next to a hospital, so I get ambulances 24/7. Yeah, it's police sometimes, of course. it's hard to relax at the moment, especially with a mask. That's one thing I'm desperately wanting to get rid of. That we know once again that if people say no, I know for a fact, if people say no, enough is enough, I don't want to wear a mask anymore, and you stop people take it off, businesses stop enforcing it on people, it'll be gone like this. It'll be just gone. But once again, how long is that going to take? 6 months until people go through summer and can't breathe and they're like, you know, pull it off and finally throw it in the bin? Probably, knowing what's just happened for the last 9 months, it'll probably take them 6 months before they're really sick of it. So I don't know, maybe not.
Or if somebody has a major health episode because they've been forced to wear a mask outside during summer, which is there are so many, as we've just talked about, there's medical reasons why people can't wear masks, but to cut off the fresh air, that has consequences as well, because the actual advice about wearing masks until Dan developed his love of masks was were suggested to wear a mask if you couldn't physically distance. Now Dan expects you to wear one if you're outside and there's nobody around for ages. And this is another one of his dictatorial decrees. It's not based on health advice. He said that, I hold out on masks. This is, he basically confessed that it's his decision, which of course, is not consistent with the Public Health and Wellbeing Act, which it's the Chief Health Officer's directives, not what Dan decides.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it is all about what Dan says, isn't it? And people will follow it and do whatever he says because they're lost, some of these people. They've got no idea what left or right is, and they don't think for themselves, and they need someone to tell them every little move of their life. And I found it quite comical but also infuriating when, I saw the police and there's Siri going off from me saying a word. When I saw the police force and the dictator Dan come out on their Facebook and Instagram pages with a dog with a mask, you know, showing how to put masks.
I saw that one. That was horrible.
Exactly. And to me, that was blatant in your face. Like, they are saying you are a dog. Like, to me, that's what they were saying. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, people are like commenting on it. Why would you put that on a dog? That's animal cruelty. It's like, okay, so it's not cruel to take away human air, like when you're breathing it in, you know what I mean? So, okay, so you care about if it's a dog, but you don't care about anyone else being forced to wear this embarrassing thing on your face. And then there'll be the argument about, you know, hijabs and all these different things. You know, you had all these people going, oh, no, we don't agree with it. This is not going to happen in our country. It's degrading to women, all this sort of stuff, right? But then they'll all wear a mask and they won't see the irony of that. It's yeah, like I said, it's this subconscious thing. Oh, well, it's a blue mask that I've seen in a hospital show before, so it must do something with the virus. You know what I mean? But it does nothing, and it's the same thing as wearing a muzzle on your face as a dog. So I'm not going to wear it, and I think the fact that they put it in your face like that, hinting you are a dog, this is how you wear your mask, should be enough of a hint that what they're really getting at here. But once again, you know, apparently there's no agenda behind anything with some of these people, so they're not going to see it.
Have you seen the latest on the Victoria Police page when they released those composites of suspects and they're wearing masks?
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. Those photos, it's just comical. I don't know if they're taking the piss when they put that up, but it's like, oh, have you seen this guy? Yeah, I've seen a thousand of them today.
I mean, is the penny going to drop for Victoria Police, like, during the summer when the gangs are around? It's like, hey, we can't identify these people because Dan's requiring them all to wear masks. Like, his office has been vandalized twice, Dan Andrews. I assume then when people, the people, whoever did it, wore masks when they did it because, well, that's what Dan decreed. So good luck finding the people who did that. I think the joke was about that. There's about 6 million suspects.
Yeah, it's so funny, isn't it? It's so... I remember going to... Coles one or 2 days before the mask mandate came in, and I honestly didn't expect the mask mandate to come in. The way the second wave hit was very like boom, 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 just out of nowhere, and it just suddenly took everyone off guard. It was like we're at three to five cases a day, and then boom, hotel quarantine, mask mandate, curfew, blah, blah, blah. That's how he just got it in so quick. But anyway, back to what I was saying about Coles. I remember I used to go in there with a hood on. Face uncovered, obviously, no masks at the time. They've got cameras through the aisle, but you know, maybe I look a bit shady the way I was dressed. So, you know, of course I'm a thief. And I go back 3 days later and I get looked at if I'm wearing the same thing. It's like before I'm shady because my face is uncovered, but I've got a hood on. Now I'm shady because my face is uncovered and everyone else has a mask on. You know what I mean? It's like it goes from you literally anyone could walk into a store and steal with a mask on, and no one would know who they are, and now I stand out like a sore thumb to a security guard because I'm not covering my identity up. You know what I mean? It's just, it's insane. I don't...
Yeah, I remember when Dan first became Premier, he questioned or he didn't like that some of the people who attended the Patriot rallies had face coverings on. It's like, oh, why are they wearing that? What have they got to hide? So he's gone from that attitude to absolutely having this mask fetish.
yeah, exactly right. I do. I remember those as well, what, last year and the year before, yeah? Those... I remember those. I don't even remember what he said there, but he brought it out of nowhere. And I remember early in the year, he said, what was it, March, April, would have been May or something like that. He said, masks are unnecessary. It's really a waste of a mask or hell, whatever he said. Oh, it's really a waste of a mask. And then he comes out and he, you know, oh, now it's mandatory. Hmm. You know, for what? Where else in Australia has done it? There's more cases in New South Wales on some days now, and they're not wearing masks. They seem to just life.
And you're allowed up to 20 people at a private indoor gathering. It's been expanded to 30 outside. Everywhere is open in New South Wales except for, I think, nightclubs. But it's pretty much business as usual in New South Wales. You're now allowed a protest of up to 500 with a COVID-safe plan. As it stands now, where we're all still trapped in Melbourne, and regional Victorians, the borders are still up with South Australia and New South Wales. But a lot of people have been speculating, will, when all the borders open by Christmas, as National Cabinet have agreed to, apart from Western Australia, will there be a mass exodus? And, well, there was another 9 Ipsos poll, and it's spoken about... of the poll of the 446 who lived in Melbourne, 1 in 10 were contemplating a move to regional Victoria, and a further 15% are considering moving interstate. I'm of the mind that I'd want to go to another state just to not have to or be pressured to wear a mask.
Yeah, well, you make a great point. I've this whole time trying to be... I've been fighting the idea of moving states because I've thought, we're going to get through it. You know, we'll get there. But knowing Dan and what he's done already, we could be back in it, in the deep of it next year again. And in the same situation with him pushing more stuff, I don't know if I can deal with it again. I'd be very, very much inclined to want to move to either go to Sydney or Brisbane or the Gold Coast or something, just like you said, so we don't have to wear a mask. But then the question is, what agenda's coming there next? Now, I hope none, but, you know, usually that's what happens. If they can, they'll see what they can do.
One of my New South Wales friends said that if Victorians are going to move up to New South Wales, they should have to fill out a declaration that they're not a communist. And it's like, yep, I'll fill that out.
Do you think they could have pulled this stuff in New South Wales?
Well, when they had the second wave, it had that spillover into Sydney. There was the Crossroads Hotel outbreak, and it's now no pun intended, every time that there's a significant spike in New South Wales, it's called a crossroads moment. Everyone predicted during that first Crossroads outbreak that Sydney and New South Wales would go back into lockdown, but they didn't. They've managed their contact tracing has managed to get every outbreak under control. They haven't mandated masks. They had those restrictions on singing and dancing at weddings, which was stupid. They've now lifted them, but credit to Gladys Berejiklian and even Brad Hazard. I mean, he's probably redeemed himself after the Ruby Princess fiasco by making sure that their contact tracing is good and they haven't gone back into lockdown. So they've been, well, as it's been said, you don't want to use mainstream language, but the gold standard, just suppressing the virus but not freaking out and shutting everything down, which a lot of people fear that Dan might do again.
Oh, and everyone, should feel that way, I think, unfortunately. And like I said, we need to get rid of him. That's why people need to stop not stop protesting. We need to get harder now. We've got more of an opportunity to go in now harder without getting attacked as much by the police. We need to do that. People need to not be caught off guard for the second time. People need to learn now what's happened, and they need to say, no, enough is enough. We need answers. We need you gone. We need masks gone. People need to do it. It has to be done, or we are going to go back down the same road.
I'm like you. I've always loved Melbourne, but look what we just had, the grand final. The most Melbourne thing, AFL footy, was taken away from us. It was all played interstate. Grand final in the Gabba. Grand final barbecues were banned. I mean, that's basically ripping the soul from Melbourne. What else is there without it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, I said the same thing. I said it's about taking away our culture and taking away our identity as a city. If they can do that, they can do other things too, which they've already done. They've already managed to do that. And that was just a symbol of taking away the heart of Melbourne. That was the sin, because it's been going for so many years. That was about taking something away now and marking that in stone now and slowly turning the city into a different identity, which is what they're going to do and what they're trying to do. And unless the city wakes up, it is going to turn into a complete communist shithole, in my opinion.
Well, we've seen the for lease signs in Lygon Street, iconic Italian restaurant precinct in Melbourne that's nearly destroyed it already. And it's just going to get worse with the, yep. Obviously there'll be a lot of businesses, especially hospitality, pinning their recovery hopes on more patronage, but still there's still going to be a lot of restricted movement, not many people going to the city and that, and there's already still the limits on indoor and outdoor dining. There's still a lot of damage to unfold still.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There definitely is. And the aftermath, we haven't even reached it yet. We haven't even seen the damage these lockdowns have caused. We haven't seen what's to come, unfortunately. Like you said, all the lease signs up, you know, on the buildings around, all around Richmond, I've seen around Chapel Street, in the CBD. It's scary because, you know, who's going to come in and buy these things up? It's going to be international foreign interests. We're now going to own more of our state, and then they're going to move their way into our country, and that's exactly the plan. So I don't doubt at all that he's going to try and do it next year to just finish the job, and then after that get a vaccine in everyone, and you know, now you've got this new world order grid city. But let's see. I hope people don't let it get that far.
We saw today the Victorian government is advertising for a COVID vaccination project director. Pretty good salary, around about $200,000 to $250,000. And we know that the COVID vaccine, it's bipartisan, federal, state. Scott Morrison, he once said about, because they've locked in the Oxford and the University of Queensland vaccine deals, that he wanted to make it as mandatory as possible. But then he said, oh, no, be free and voluntary. Though we had Alan Tudge, the acting immigration minister, last week say that with the new passenger declaration, a digital card, it'll be able to have a vaccination ID. And Australia has pioneered the various governments, the no jab, no pay policy. All leaders from all major political parties are gung-ho on the vaccine. Both Daniel Andrews and Gladys Berejiklian have said there's no old normal unless there's a vaccine.
Yeah, I've seen that. They're saying, no, COVID normal, Dan said, until a vaccine. They're preparing us for the vaccine. I think they really just want to nail it into our head that that's going to be the normal until people take a vaccine. It's just what percentage of the population are going to take it. That's going to really depend on where we're going to go from here, you know?
And with the Northern Hemisphere going into winter, we're seeing what I call the Melbourne model, with various aspects of our stage 4 lockdown being implemented. And obviously Ireland, they've got the 5K limit in their lockdown. And we see, well, Wales has even gone into more lunacy with the non-essential items having covers over them, which is just absurd. I mean, who gets to decide what's non-essential? They've even covered birthday cards and kettles.
Crazy. I saw that as well. It's just, that's insane. And once again, what does that have to do with the virus? It's just policing of people, and it's communism again. It's taking away anything with joy to it, life to it. Well, we're going to take away birthday cards. You can have flour and salt instead. You know, like you can have the bare essentials. Just like they had us all lining up in lines and everything like that. It's all part of this, you know, conditioning you to it. You know, maybe it's not going to happen right now, but it's going to happen in the future, where soon the non-essentials aren't going to even even be accessible anymore, because, you know, if they're going to want us in food shortages as well, which people have talked about, but that's another thing altogether.
Yeah, so you'll get the virus by going down aisle 6, but not down aisle 2.
It's a very smart virus.
Well, I've appreciated chatting with you tonight, Richard. We've got obviously a few important dates coming up. You mentioned the curfew, a Supreme Court decision, which will be on November the 2nd. We've also got the Coat Inquiry handing down its findings on November 6th. And then we've got the two High Court challenges. We've got the Sorrento business owner, Julian Gerner, challenging the 5-kilometer travel limit based on a freedom of movement in the Constitution. And then Clive Palmer, a mining magnate, challenging WA's hard border closure under the Constitution. And fingers crossed, Dan keeps his word and the Ring of Steel is dismantled on November 9, which would be a fitting day because that's the anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down in 1989.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be interesting. Oh. You know, it's exciting what's coming up now. I hope there's some wins there for the people, you know, and then the government have to, you know, face the consequences or at least face some accountability for what they've done. But yeah, and we've got this protest coming up on the 3rd, so hope to see you there, Tim, maybe, maybe not. But either way, yeah, we'll have a huge turnout.
I'm planning to get back into the field soon. There's a big difference between sort of like participating in a protest and sort of covering it. There's like a lot of pre-production, then production on the day, and then post-production as well. So I'm sort of, what's the expression, sort of, you know, biding my time. And when I do return to the field, it's going to be, you know, bigger and better than ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing is there's a lot more, isn't there, to it than just rocking up. You've got to deal with the police as well and then the media team and everything like that. But I hope we get a massive turnout. I hope we get a massive turnout on the 3rd because we need it.
I'm not like Avi, who has the backing of an international news organization like Rebel News to have his back all the time. In Canada, their journalists are arrested all the time, and Ezra Levant, they're always taking the Trudeau government to court. I mean, he's just as bad, if not worse, than Dan Andrews Trudeau.
Oh yeah, man, he's bad as well. I remember I've been watching these dictators overseas. And all the stuff going on. That's what I mean about international politics. But I just didn't see it coming here so quick. I knew it was happening in the background, but you know, you see it pop the head out, and then it's very obvious.
And I think the US election, that'll have the result will have a big impact on where sort of this pandemic goes and when the sort of end will be, because obviously Trump, he doesn't want us to be gripped by fear, while Biden's warning of a dark winter and wants a 2-month mask mandate, which he claims will save 100,000 lives. Because yeah, all the media, they get hysterical that Trump's rallies, there's not everyone's in masks, and with that, you know, it's not from a position of care, it's out of a position of beratement. You want to berate Trump supporters, you don't actually care about them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all that it's about. It's honestly a joke, really. The way that they go at them, they find anything at all that they can get them for, no matter what. Yet Biden is implicated with all this stuff at the moment with his son. There's evidence everywhere of his corruption, yet that doesn't make the media, that doesn't make the news. They're more concerned about a couple of Trump supporters not wearing a mask, you know. So, and then you've got Antifa running around the street, but yeah, keep going.
Oh, they wear masks, but for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, we all know what that is.
All right, take care, Richard. We'll catch up again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, for sure. And I'll hopefully see you down at the protest. That'd be awesome.
Yep, take care.
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's the midweek show for tonight. So obviously with all the elections coming up, the broadcast schedule of not just Wilmsfront but also on Kakabulls will be quite irregular. So tomorrow night, the regular Unkakabulls will air at 8:30 p.m. Melbourne time on the show YouTube and DLive. So far it is, as always, myself, David Hiscock, editor of the XYZ, and also Jared Seeby, director and founder of the AMEG project. There'll be no Wilmsfront or Trad-Tasman talk this Friday night. That's because I'll be prepping for the Wilmsfront Queensland election night live stream, which will be commencing at 8 p.m. Melbourne time on the Wilmsfront YouTube DLive channel, and also the Unshackled's Facebook page, which will be 7 p.m. Brisbane time, 1 hour after the polls close there in that state, because that's obviously when we'll start to get results. I'll be joined by Barclay McGain and also Alexandra Marshall, and I'm also hoping to get people from the Right On advocacy group who've been on the ground campaigning in Queensland, and also people from the True Blue crew in Queensland as well. So it'll be a big election night panel on the Saturday night. And then there'll be a Wilmsfront episode Monday night. My guest will be Ken Phillips, who is the director of Self-Employed Australia. He recently wrote to the director of WorkSafe Victoria, asking them to look at pressing charges against Victorian government ministers and bureaucrats under Victoria's industrial manslaughter laws for the 800 deaths that have occurred in the second wave. That'll be one night after Peter Credlin's Deadly Decisions Sky News documentary, which I'll just play the promo for that now.
To me, getting to the truth is all that matters. Anything else is just a sideshow. And I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to take a deep dive into Victoria's hotel quarantine catastrophe. We're going to have a special program on this. Sky News special program. It will investigate how the flawed decision-making inside the government led to the use of private security guards instead of police and Defence Force personnel used everywhere else around the country. Because Victoria's decision to go it alone has had disastrous consequences for more than 800 dead, 5 million Melbourne residents that are suffering the longest and toughest lockdowns in the world, and an economy that's on its knees. That special, don't miss it, Sunday the 1st of November, here on Sky News at 8 p.m.
And obviously on the Tuesday, 3rd of November, not only is there the Cup Day protest, that's also when the US election is occurring. It's always the first Tuesday of November, but we won't get the, because we're nearly a day behind the US, we won't start to get the results until about midday on Wednesday. So for the US election, there'll be a special Unkakabulls election day live stream, which will be in Australia, which will start at midday Melbourne time, and we'll keep going until we get the most results that we do that night, because we do not know if we're going to get a result on the election day, because obviously with all the mail-in voting, there could be a delay in the count. Obviously Biden is ahead in all the polls, but so was Hillary Clinton last election. So if anyone can pull off another upset victory, it is Donald Trump. It'll be myself, David Hiscock, Stephen Wells, and Richard Wollstonecraft, who so far will be all on the Unkakabulls US election panel. Then I'll return next Wednesday night with another Wilmsfront, and then we'll be back to regular broadcast with Kakabors on the Thursday again, and also Trad Tasman Talk will return Friday, November 6th at 6 p.m. Melbourne time on Leon Shackle's YouTube channel. Same day as the coat findings from the hotel quarantine inquiry are handed down. And, the New Zealand election result was pretty clear on the night. Jacinda Ardern has been returned, and her Labour Party is able to govern its own right, though she might do a coalition with the Greens to safeguard herself for future elections. But we will also find out this Friday the results of the two New Zealand referenda questions, whether they're going to legalise euthanasia and legalise marijuana. So I'm certainly anticipating that. And also, I don't have the data off the top of my head, but we should know in early November, the winners of the Victorian local government elections, which have taken place by mail-in voting throughout October. So the last ballots were cast last Friday on the 23rd. So it'll be very interesting to see the results of that and whether it has any implications for state politics and Daniel Andrews' leadership or his decision to maybe retire or stay on. So thank you for everyone for watching tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll see you again tomorrow night for the Uncuckables. And hope you're anticipating as much as I am the election season that we're having here. And we just hope that, the Queensland election, that's also as unpredictable the result as the US election, but it's going to be crucial election as well. So good night, everybody. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Thanks for tuning in to Wilmsfront. Visit timwilms.com or Rational Rise TV to view the archive of episodes. And keep visiting theunshackled.net to view all our shows. And to keep up with the latest real news and analysis.